Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As we continue our study of the book of Romans and we come to chapter 10, it begins much as did chapter 9, with the expression of the attitude and sentiments of the Apostle Paul toward his Jewish fellow countrymen. Paul knew, as we also know, because the New Testament makes it very plain, that the Jewish people, for the most part, rejected Christ. They rejected this system of salvation that is spelled out for us in the book of Romans. And as a result of that rejection, they were rejecting their salvation from sin. Because only by and through the system that God has given through Christ can men then and men now be saved. And Paul was so desirous of those people to enjoy the same salvation that Christians enjoy. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, when he says they have a zeal of God, they were very religious people. And they were very zealous for the law of Moses under which they lived. But what they did not understand was that the law of Moses was not God's way of saving man. And though they had a belief in God, they wished to serve God, they were zealous for the things of God, they were not doing what they were doing religiously according to the knowledge that God wants men to have. He continues, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness," that is, of God's way of making man righteous, "and going about to establish their own righteousness," in other words, going about trying to save themselves by themselves according to their own ways, "they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Friend, this was a problem of the Jewish people in the first century. This has been a problem of mankind down through the years, though they be religious many times and even believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They try to follow the way of their own ideas. They follow their creeds and manuals and disciplines and prayer books and etc. They follow the traditions of men and of their ancestors. They try to establish their own righteousness. They try to justify themselves according to their own thinking rather than to the way that God has decided to save man. And the next statement of Paul here in the fourth verse is something that they and we need to understand. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, isn't it plain that Paul has repeatedly shown that the way of salvation is a way of faith? We can be made righteous before God by believing. And of course, as we have mentioned, and so say we now again, when Paul in the book of Romans talks about faith, he talks about a faith that leaves men to obey what God says. And he emphasizes that quite strenuously further in this chapter. But he says Christ is the end of the law. In other words, the law of Moses was given to point to the coming of the faith of Jesus Christ. The law of Moses preceded the way that God was going to save man. Christ is the goal. Christ was the target, even of the old Mosaic law. And coming to Christ was toward that which the old law pointed. And he was the termination. He was the end. He was the fulfillment of the very purposes of the law of Moses. Paul continues in verse 5. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law." Now, Moses had told them something about the law of Moses, the law that God gave through him. He said that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. You see, friend, the law of Moses was a law of works that is, meritorious works. If a man lived perfectly under the old law, he would not sin. But of course, to live perfectly, a man could not do that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The book of Romans emphasizes that as it teaches the need of the system of salvation. And so Moses said this was a law that you would have to earn your salvation. Of course, they could not do that. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now, rather than the old law, there's something different. What did the righteousness of faith say? Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. You see, God had already sent Christ from heaven, and Christ had already died and been raised. The way of faith is not the repetition of these things that God has done. Well, what says the righteousness of God? Thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Now, when you learn the message that the Apostle Paul preached, you're going to see this was the way God intended to save man. And what was the message that he proclaimed? Listen to it, beginning with verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here's the necessity of confessing with the mouth one's faith in Christ. Well, now, if that's necessary for salvation, then there's necessary is something more than just the faith itself. Faith is not the same thing as confession. We must believe to be sure, and he emphasizes that in verse 11. As he had back in chapter 9, as he will do again in verse 13, one must indeed believe, but he must confess Jesus and confess that he's been raised from the dead. And of course, that was God's way of making it known that he was God's son, Romans 1 and verse 4. But this shows that their salvation is dependent upon something more than just faith. Oh, I know you have some religious teachers today who say just only believe, salvation by faith only. Well, this passage of Scripture refutes that idea because it includes the necessity of confession. And then in verse 10 he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So faith and confession both are included in God's plan of salvation. Now, that's not all that's involved. We've seen God's love and His grace and His mercy. We've seen the blood of Jesus Christ, His resurrection. We've seen the necessity of man to be obedient in his faith toward Christ. There are so many things involved, obedience to the commands of the gospel. But here we learn that faith and confession of that faith are part of the system of salvation. And that's what Paul is explaining here in this marvelous epistle. In verse 11 he says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Once again, Paul is stressing the absolute necessity of faith. And then he says, noting the need of salvation by both Jew and Gentile, he said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Notice, here's something else that's necessary. Here's something else that plan includes, and that is calling on the name of the Lord. Notice verse 11 again. Verse 11 says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Here, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, since calling on the name of the Lord is necessary for salvation, what all does this involve? How does this come about? Well, he continues to explain, beginning with verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Friend, man cannot call upon God, not for salvation, if he does not have the faith that the Lord calls for. You see, the Lord calls for us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, calls upon us to believe that we need the salvation that he offers by the blood of Christ. But how can they call if they don't believe? Now, Jesus said, "It's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven," Matthew 7 and verse 21. So there is something that man must do, not only believe, but he just more than just calling on God to save him, he must do what the Lord tells him to do. But he reasons further, showing the necessity of belief. He said, "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" Well, you can't believe in something you've never heard about. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And is it written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings," that's the gospel, "of good things." Now, the word of God is necessary for one to be saved. Without the word of God, there is no such thing as salvation. Paul says, "The feet of those that preach the gospel are beautiful." It's not because the preacher is beautiful. It's because the message, the good news that he declares is beautiful. Verse 16, he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Now, can't you see the necessity of obedience in this plan? Back in the days of Isaiah, "The Lord, who hath believed our report?" Not everyone believed the message that the prophets had delivered. They preached it. They were called upon to believe it. But not everyone did believe it. But faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Friend, the word of God contains for us the evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it tells us that we're lost in our sins, but it also tells us that we can be saved. Without the word of God, we would not know of our relationship to God. We couldn't know of our responsibility and accountability unto God. We would not know what God has done on our behalf. We would not know what he expects of us to partake of the great blessings and spiritual benefits that he's provided through his Son. It begins with the word of God. And it includes faith, but he says it's unfortunate that everybody doesn't believe. Indeed, friend, it's a sad thing when people hear the gospel, but they don't believe it, and therefore they don't obey it. That's the way it's been down through the years, and that's the way it is, sadly, with many people even yet today. Well, what is it to call upon the name of God? Well, we're going to explore that in our next lesson and see what Scripture tells us. We must call on God, even as God has called on us by the gospel. What is that call? Well, the Scripture doesn't leave it unanswered. It tells us what that is, and we'll find out about that in our next lesson. Remember, this is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.